Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks this day for this beautiful morning you have given us and called it good. Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, may the Spirit rest upon us and anoint each of us here today. Lord, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, today we finish our sermon series called We Are the Church, and we are exploring the vow that we make as members to uphold the church by our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. 2 weeks ago, we talked about service and how it encompasses all the other components of our vow. In one way or another, we are serving the church in all that we do. But service isn't something that we have to do. It's something that we want to do because it comes out of this place of love. When we love each other, when we love the church, and when we love the community that we are placed in, our acts of service flows out of that place of love, and we want to show the love of Christ in tangible ways for each other. Today we finish our series with our final part of our vow to uphold the church with our witness. So this portion of our vow actually has a really unique history. If you were confirmed before January 1st, 2009, you did not pledge to be a witness in your membership vows. The original vow, portion of the vow, was to uphold the church by your prayers, presence, gifts, and service. And that was the end of that vow. But at the 2008 General Conference, which we hold only once every 4 years and is the only body that can change the Book of Discipline, they decided to change the membership vow to include witness to this original statement. The rationale for this change was that even though as members we make a number of vows, we primarily remember just this one, to uphold the church by our prayers, presence, gift, service, and witness. They wanted to add "and witness" to this vow because the first four were seen or were interpreted as to be too inward focused or too institutional in nature. They wanted to remind our church members that our membership is not just about us in these four walls, but that our membership vows also involve those outside of our church here today. According to the United Methodist Church, adding "and witness" to the list may help our members, new and old, to recognize their responsibilities not only to show up, but to show forth God's saving love in all that we do. This vow reminds us that we are not isolated, nor are we only concerned about preserving our institution. We are also concerned about all those who are not here on Sunday mornings. When I talked to the confirmation students about this particular item of the vow, to be a witness to the church, the way that I kind of phrase it or talk to them about it is that I don't want to give them the impression that people are stalking them. However, people are watching us. They're observing us and what we do. People are watching us, for example, when we go out after church on Sunday, dressed in our nice clothes with our cross necklaces on, and they're watching us in how we treat the waitstaff. They're watching us throughout the week, how we interact with our neighbors, what we post on Facebook, how we rush out the door in the mornings, and how we come home at night. And they're watching to see if we live up to what we preach. They are watching to see if we treat people with love and kindness and fairness, putting ourselves last and others first. They are looking to see if we walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to be flawless all the time. Nor does this mean that we should give the impression that everything is perfect all the time. You and I know that life will never be rosy 100% of the time. And we know that we will never be sinless ever again. But when we took a vow to be a witness, we remind ourselves that we don't just represent ourselves anymore, we represent Christ and the church as well. When I was in college, I was a member of a sorority called Tau Beta Sigma. And Tau Beta Sigma is a co-ed band service sorority. So co-ed, so women and men could join, and the men were still called sisters. And it was a service sorority that revolved around the band. So we were a service to whatever the bands needed at Mansfield. And I really enjoyed my time at in Tau Beta Sigma. I gained valuable friendships and leadership experiences because of that organization. But when I became a member of the sorority, I pledged to abide by their rules. And specifically, I pledged that when we were at sorority events or functions, or even when I just wore my letters, so a shirt with our Greek letters on it, that whenever I was to wear that or to be at functions, I was to abide by certain rules. These rules included no swearing, no drinking, and living into the ideals of the sisterhood. We held ourselves to a higher standard of living because we knew that when we wore our letters, people were watching us. We were visible to them. And they wanted to know who we were by our actions. That's one of the reasons why I joined that particular sorority. Because when I was trying to decide which sorority I wanted to join, I was looking at all the different sororities. And I watched them. And I wanted to see what kind of group of people joined that group. I wanted to see how they interacted with each other. I heard the stories of what happened at their meetings and events. And in the end, that's why I joined the sorority that I did. Because I saw the character of the people who joined. The character of the people who joined Tau Beta Sigma at Mansfield were good Christian people, or they were good people with values similar to mine. And in fact, to this day, some of the sisters in the sorority are some of my closest Christian friends. And I am sure that many of you have similar stories like mine, where you joined a particular organization, not just because of what the organization stood for, but also because of the character of the people that joined it. You saw what they were like at their events and who they were as a group of people, and you wanted to be a part of that as well. So if we do this for secular organizations, how much more powerful is it when we do the same thing as Christians? What if we did more than just showed up as the church, but showed forth God's love as the church? What would it look like to witness to our love for God and our daily lives? If we knew people were watching us, judging us as Christians, what would we do or not do to show them this good news, to show them this love deep in our hearts? It's not just enough to keep this good news to ourselves. We have to share it with others. It's not just enough to come here on Sunday mornings. We have to go out there too. Witnessing to others about the love of Jesus doesn't happen here on Sunday morning. It happens when you leave here. You are only here for 1 hour a week. You live the rest of your lives for all the other hours of your lives during the week out there. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm so thankful that each and every one of you are here today. But folks, this isn't what counts. What counts is going out there and showing people what you have learned here. We are not in a day and an age anymore where we can just expect people to come to us. It used to be that if you built it, they would come. But that doesn't happen anymore. And in fact, we are not building much of anything anymore. We're actually closing more churches than we are building them. That's something else we learned at annual conference. So it is time to light a fire deep within us, a Holy Spirit fire, and get out there and proclaim. Proclaim your love for Jesus and your neighbor. Proclaim your goodness of God. On that first Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and anointed the believers and began the church, other people took notice. They noticed something was different. Now, they couldn't name it until Peter stood up and told them. But once he did, it says that thousands were joined that day with them as believers in Christ. Because they noticed the difference, they noticed the fire burning within the believers, and they wanted to be a part of that too. At annual conference, the president of the Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C., got up and spoke for a few minutes. And he said something that I have known for quite a while now, but I didn't have the guts to admit it to myself, or certainly to any of you. He said, and it's part of a much larger paragraph, but the one sentence that stood out to me was that he said, people outside of this room here at annual conference don't care what happens here. Isn't that a punch in the gut? 1,000 people joined together that day and nobody outside that room cares. Folks, I'm going to tell you the same thing. People outside of this church here today don't care what happens in here today. They don't care what our average attendance is like. They don't care if you bring in more money than you spend. They don't care if you have the world's greatest preacher, which, by the way, you do. But do you know what they really do care about? They care if you are loving and compassionate to them. They care if you help others and don't condemn them. They care if we're kind in speech and gracious in our mistakes. That's what they care about. That's what they're going to judge us by. And that's what they're going to notice. And if they notice those things, they won't be able to deny what makes us that way. And trust me, we will stick out if we act that way. People are looking for more love, more kindness, more goodness in a very dark world. And they are searching for the light and for the goodness that they know still exists somewhere within humanity. So we've got to point them to where it all came from by how we live our lives and our witness to the truth of the love of God. That's what makes you the church. That's what makes me the church. That's what makes us the church better together. When we uphold the church by our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and our witness. Amen.